Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Terry, once again, because of the Best Friends Conference in Las Vegas, you have brought us a terrific guest. Who do we have with us today?
Well, we have Amy Sadler from Longmont Humane Society in Colorado, and she gave a phenomenal presentation at the No More Homeless Pets Conference that Best Friends put on. Welcome, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me.
So one of the things that really sort of synced with me is your work of dogs in groups and sort of housing in groups and working them that way. And Dee and I talk about that a lot because one of our goals is to actually have a rescue facility at some point and do a very similar model. We think that kind of works. Can you tell us about, you know, what you're doing, how you got there?
Well, you know, I think ever since I was young, it was always very comfortable for me to be around a lot of animals. I was raised on a farm, and my mom was an animal lover. And it's interesting, we always had strays that we would pick up. We had 15, 18 dogs on the farm at a time. And my mom loved them but was always petrified of them fighting any time that they would scuffle together. It just made her very nervous, even though she had that love for them and opened her home to them. For me, it was always a really natural space to be in. And they're pack animals. I think we forget that sometimes as we dress them up. And recently, you know, I see everybody out and about with their kids at Halloween and putting the costumes on the dogs as well. And in our culture, treating them like family members, as I do as well. But, you know, they are pack animals. We have to remember that. So in a stressful shelter environment, allowing them to come back to those roots in some way, you know, we believe really helps them to stay behaviorally sound.
So now how many dogs do you normally do in a play group? Is that, you know, 30, 40, or is that 10?
Well, you know, it depends. As I teach this program to other shelters, it's really not the number of dogs that's important. It's just what's most important that it's a group of dogs and that it rotates. It's tricky. You don't want to create small packs within one territory, which the territory being the shelter. So what's important to us is whatever the handler is comfortable with, we do up to maybe 30 at a time. You know, whatever your comfort level is, whatever group of dogs that you have at the moment, they really dictate who's going to be where and for how long and at what time. You're just the hallway monitor, basically.
And Amy, I have a question there. How much is involved when picking what dogs get to play with what dogs? How much does the temperament piece of all of this have to do with how you put dogs together?
Well, that's a really interesting question. For us, when a dog, let's say, comes into us as a stray and we have no known history, we hold them for a certain amount of time to make sure the owner has an opportunity to come pick their dog up. Once that time has passed, the dog is legally ours, and then we proceed with evaluating them and hopefully placing them ultimately. The first experience that dog has when it's now available to be handled by us and its stray weight period is up is they're brought right out to play group. So there's no pre-evaluation or they're not behavior evaluated, temperament tested, whatever you'd want to call it. We don't go through a bunch of steps first. The play group is the first step for them.
Uh-huh.
So there's a quick observation of their behavior on the way out. If they seem that they're showing some of those classic, like, on-leash reactivity, or they seem to be barrier aggressive when they're coming out and it just seems too intense, because we've learned at this point that those two behaviors really don't tell you how social a dog can be with other dogs.
Right.
They're kind of separate issues. But if it's kind of too intense, we'll just decide later. We'll do them one-on-one in a more controlled environment and ease them into it. But most of the dogs, they come out and, boom, they go right in.
That's so wonderful to hear. I love the concept. How long have you all been doing playgroups that way?
Well, I came to Longmont in September of 2005 and brought in this behavior program, and playgroups are my primary tool, if you will. If I could only hold on to one thing and had to give up everything, treats or equipment or whatever, I would hold on to playgroups.
And does it make any difference what size the dogs are, what age the dogs are, or just they're all part of the pack?
Well, you do have to be careful with puppies. You need to make sure, you have to be a little bit more careful to make sure that they don't have a bad experience, which will then possibly create a behavior you have to overcome on their behalf later on. So it's important that you're cherry-picking those dogs for puppies a little bit more carefully. The other issue is small dogs. You know, even if it's all in play, you want to make sure that nobody's getting hurt by accident by being stepped on. But it's not to say that we separate out our puppies or our small dogs. We're just a little bit more selective. They do get to play with all the big dogs as well. We just pick not the super, super rowdy ones or ones that are a little bit edgier in their play style.
I know the goal is to have all of these fur kids have forever homes, but boy, I bet they're kind of sad when they leave their play groups, because what a wonderful way to live.
You know, it depends. There are some dogs, the play groups aren't for all the dogs. Some of them are stressed out by it. But, you know, it's interesting. We have participated in a study, and, of course, you know how science goes. I can't talk much about it. But we're actually participating in trying to find out scientifically, is this really helping dogs with their stress levels in the shelter environment? Some dogs don't prefer it, and we have this big walk board that tells the volunteers what dogs come to play group and which ones are just walked. Some of them come out to play group because they're very tolerant around the other dogs, and it's efficient for us to have them go out and do their business there in the morning instead of having to be hand-walked. But they maybe do their business and they go right back in. And then some of them are just walked because it's not pleasurable for them.
Now, let me ask you this. Typically, how long does a play group last?
Let's see now. It takes us, on average, 2.5 to 3 hours to get 100 dogs out.
Okay. Cool.
And the dogs, when they're out, have anywhere from maybe 20 minutes to an hour of playtime. It depends if they're having a good time or if we're rotating them more quickly. So each dog gets, you know, on average, at least a half an hour outside playing.
This is, I mean, I love the play group thing. I should stay on it forever, but we really shouldn't do that.
Well, I'm wondering now, I guess I'm under the impression that the housing is also in group. Is that incorrect?
Yeah, actually, we have a kennel layout that goes out to the person that's doing the play groups in the morning. And I only do play groups maybe once a week now. It's run by mostly volunteers and then also the training and behavior coordinator that runs the in-house program while I'm out and about doing radio shows and conferences and things like that. But the kennel layout goes out with her in the morning, and it's kind of like putting together a puzzle. Maybe she's had reports that one dog isn't doing well in a particular kennel, or we need to change roommates, two are getting too rowdy or annoying each other or not eating well together, something like that. So they're constantly rotated, but we try to – any dog that wants a companion to live with, we try to give them that.
That's awesome. I just so believe in that whole boarding of these dogs in groups. It just seems to work for me mentally, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you did mention volunteers. Let's talk a little bit about your volunteer program, because that was something else that caught my attention at your presentation. You seem to have a pretty elaborate and well-developed volunteer program.
Yeah, actually, it's key. The shelters that I've gone around to teach, I feel for them because I say, I'm going to show you all this stuff, but really until you have a volunteer core in place to do it, it's a little bit of a moot point for you because we simply don't have the resources in staff alone to really provide these animals the enrichment that they need to be behaviorally sound while they're with us. So that's really key. And when I came to Longmont Humane Society, they had a phenomenal volunteer program already in place. And then we just kind of retrained everybody with this new style and technique, and it rejuvenated a lot of interest. And like I said, the volunteers are running the playgroups. The volunteers are doing most of the training on our dogs. I only come in and train dogs that they feel like they need my help with initially, but they're doing all the work, and the dogs are doing beautifully. We have actually now an open admission shelter, which means we don't turn any animal away at our doors for any reason. We have a 92.5% live release rate for our dogs.
Wow. That's
amazing.
Yeah, for an open admission, it can be really challenging because, you know, you take anything in. So for us, it's something we really are proud to have attained that percentage.
Now, is your volunteer program, is it one where people can travel from afar, maybe do a week-long volunteer thing, sort of like what Best Friends does, or is this just primarily for folks in the local area?
Well, our volunteer program is geared towards folks in the local area, and it's a very rigorous training process, and we have it up to the fourth-level volunteers, again, which do intense training. In fact, they actually handle dogs sometimes that we don't have kennel staff handling yet, and it takes probably about 2 years to get to that level where you can be a level four volunteer. As far as apprenticeship type programs, because people are becoming more and more interested in what we're doing, yeah, I've had people come in. We're very casual about it at this point, but we're starting to feel like we probably have to formalize an apprenticeship program.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I mean, that, from my perspective, the behavior pieces and working in the groups would be something I would travel out there to do a week's worth of hands-on, you know, shadowing you and working. That would be phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people want to do that, and we've had a couple that have.
Interesting. Now, when I was looking at the website, I also saw that the facilities have become green. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I'm just a happy participant in it. I can't take any credit for having anything to do with moving the facility in that direction. Andrea, I think, was a leading force. She's our foster care coordinator. And everybody's really enthusiastic about it. And, of course, it's nice to be a part of a program like that. And I just know where to throw stuff now. That's my participation level, the right bin, so.
Well, you know, that's half the battle, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I know that they were conscientious about some of the cleaning products. There's a whole bunch of thought that went into it. It's actually a big endeavor. to move a big facility like that over. And so, again, I can't speak very intelligently to all that detail, but it's I'm proud of it.
Well, we're glad to see it, that's for sure.
Now, let's see. Anything else, Amy, that you would like to share with our audience, including the your web address, so folks can go check out your organization?
Sure. You can find us at longmonthumane.org. And we're very proud of our program. We love watching dogs play in groups. We have a really comprehensive behavior program. So it's interesting because of this work, we're getting behavioral transfers from around the country now for, you know, people that have that sense in their gut that, you know, some of these problem behaviors that in the past and sheltering that we have to pass on that really can't we work through it. And we've stepped up and we're trying really hard to do that and we've been successful with it and we're trying to create networking relationships, hope to be doing some of that with best friends as well, as far as maybe we have the strength to work with a certain issue, so why don't you move that dog over here to us, and then I'll kick you this one because you guys are doing great with that issue. And that's really one of our goals, to participate in bringing shelters together to work more animals through more issues. You know, the point is to save more lives.
That's excellent. And we hadn't mentioned, I don't believe, where are you guys located?
We're in Longmont, Colorado, so we're due north of Denver, which is a little challenging for us because, you know, we have a population. We have a lot of dogs that are moved out of that area due to the breed-specific legislation, which is appalling.
Yes, we agree.
So that's something that we are considered very pit bull friendly, and we don't treat – all of our dogs are treated the same. There's no extra screening or the pit bulls, and any of the dogs that have potential dog aggression as part of their breed standard. You know, there's other breeds, not just pit bulls, that are supposed to not get along with other dogs very well. We give them a chance to show us if they're going to like being with other dogs or not, and nobody is segregated out of our program just based on breed alone. That's really one of our prideful moments.
So cool. That is so cool. And for folks who are in your area, I see on your website that you do offer things like classes, training classes. You also have a spay-neuter clinic.
Yes, and we're really ramping up as far as some of the services that we can provide patrons with. We're doing dentals and, you know, small things like that, and the clinic has been cranking, and we have low-cost vaccination clinics, and it's been doing really well. We're really proud of that as well.
Excellent. And, Bark Radio listeners, we will, as always, put a link on our website to Longmont. We hope you all will check out their site. It's a wonderful, wonderful operation they have going there. And, you know, we're just all over the kind of facility they have. Amy, I love all the bits and pieces that we've talked about and many more that we haven't. Y'all are doing good work.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the opportunity to talk to you this morning. It was a pleasure.
Well, it was nice talking with you as well. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.